You heard about the, they were on their way to the funeral, and the hearse rounded the corner in town, and the door opened, and the coffin slid out, went sliding down the road, and happened to be a drugstore, and it just went right inside with the door open. There's the coffin, and everybody's just looking. Pretty soon the coffin door opened up, and this fella raised up, and he said, "You got anything to stop this coffin?" It was good 40 years ago. Please open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is Memorial Day. As a nation, we remember our soldiers. As a church, we remember those that have been martyred and given their lives for the work of Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse beginning at 8. One of the more glorious passages of Scripture. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them that rose again." Brother Arden, would you stand and ask God's blessings on the preaching of his word today? Amen. By love compelled, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The year was 1803. There was a book entitled The Age of Reason. It was written by the infidel Thomas Paine, an atheist. That book swept the country in America like a tidal wave of unbelief as it promoted atheism, the age of reason. It is said it had such an impact that the University of Yale had only at that time 3 or 4 students that were not affected by the book, but all others were claiming to be atheists. In Massachusetts, there was a congregational clergy or a pastor and his wife who still held the Orthodox faith. Orthodox meaning believing correctly or right. And this pastor and his wife had a son that had a remarkable brilliance that they noticed early in his life. He was gifted beyond anything that had come along in some time in that part of the country. His father went away on a preaching campaign, and to return, he found that his wife, the mother, taught the child to read the gospel at the age of 3. And there was no doubt that whatever this gifted young boy was going to put his mind to do, he would be able to accomplish that. He entered college at the age of 15. He had no peers. He always was at the top of his class in all of the exams and left everyone far behind. Now, his father harbored secret dreams that he had for his son. He hoped that maybe one day when he resigned, that his son would be able to fill the shoes and to step into the pulpit and do great things for the kingdom of God. But what the father was not aware of is that his son, whose name we will call Don, had other thoughts and plans, and the father had no idea that college and this book and the things that were being promoted had affected his son like it did. His son had other plans for himself. Seekest great things for thyself, the scripture says, seek them not. But his son Don, he had great ambitions, recognizing the giftings that had been imparted to him. And he thought perhaps he would be another great poet at that time. A famous poet was by the name of Homer. He thought he could maybe become famous, or perhaps he could become another great ruler like Alexander the Great, or he would be a great statesman. But he also knew that whatever he put his mind and heart to, he would be able to accomplish. And he was immediately recognized for his great mind, and there was a fellow classman that he was drawn to that had quite an influence on Don, and they both shared some of the intellectual viewpoints that they had gotten from this book of Thomas Paine on the book The Age of Reasoning that attacked Christianity and promoted atheism. Don, who I'll share more with you, kept a constant diary, and he never does tell us the name of his friend other than to say his name was E. E was a convert of Thomas Paine, and the age of reason had come to reside in his soul. And this new way of thinking that Don and his friend E and much of the other classmates had turned to would obviously cause him to dismiss what he had been brought up by his parents in the church where his father pastored in the faith of Christ. And it seemed now that this old religion called Christianity was to be poo-pooed and ridiculed as the new modern age of reason had arrived. This PK, preacher's kid Don, he now felt perhaps it was time to go home and tell his parents of his new belief, or maybe we should say his new unbelief. And he did, and when he told his parents of his now newfound way, his father tried to challenge him, but he was aware that intellectually he was no match. But neither did his mother's tears change Don's mind. He was going to move on into the age of reason, and before he was going to see the world, he decided he would see the area around where he lived. And so he mounted his horse in Massachusetts, and he came to an inn. And he went in, and he asked for a room, and he was told by the innkeeper that there's only one room left, but it's doubtful whether you would want it, because you see, next to your room with these very thin walls is someone dying. And Don said, "Well, death doesn't bother me. I'm I'm in the age of reason, and death has no concern for me, doesn't scare me, I'm not moved by that, and therefore I'll take the room, give me the key, please. So he went to his room, and that night when he tried to get to sleep, as he shut his eyes, he could hear the soft groanings which grew in volume in the room next door. They became louder and louder. And as he heard this one begin to groan, he could begin to think, who is this one? And the groanings became louder, and it was as though the one actually looked into eternity and began to cry out for mercy. And he tried to cover his head from hearing these sounds, and then he began to remember his father's sermons about eternity. And then he thought to himself, ooh, what if it is real? As the moans and the cries of this one next door, of this one thinking about eternity. And then he thought to himself, but what if my friend E was to find out how I'm thinking? Why, with his sharp tongue, he would shred me to pieces. And he rebuked himself and thought, I am better than this. I don't believe in that stuff. And with that, he tried to drown out the cries that were going on next door because of the thin walls. And finally, he was able to get to sleep. Early the next morning, he awoke and he got dressed and he went to pay for the bill of the night before. And so he asked the innkeeper, how is the fella in the next room? And he said, oh, he died. He said, he did. Yes, well, no matter. It's not important. I'm a sophisticated man. I'm not troubled with things like death. Oh, but it is important, for he was a young man. In fact, he went to Brown's University. Brown's University? Well, that's where Don went. And he says, well, perhaps I know him. What was his name? And he said, well, here's the registry, and looked, and there was his name. It was E. And it hit him in his gut, and he now thought, oh, no. And he immediately got on his horse, and he rode to his parents' house, and he asked them to please. And he told them the story of how he had bought into this book on the age of reason and poo-pooed Christianity, and how he heard what happened to his friend E, and how he heard him crying out. And he asked his parents, could you please lay hands on me that you might impart unto me a faith that would cause me to be able to deal with life and death and eternity, because I do not have that faith. And once again, for the 100th time, his parents told him of the wondrous love of Christ that came from heaven all the way to earth. And it was love that sent Christ to the cross and to the tomb. He rose victorious. And they again shared of the amazing love of Jesus Christ. And so he was quite stirred by that. And now he felt that perhaps he should do something with his faith. And so he eventually found himself out in the woods. And he was praying, asking God, what should I do? He became aware of many that did not know the Lord and that seemed to continually just concern him. There are so many that do not know of God's love, and he felt called to go into the ministry. It was now 1812, And Don, you see, his real name was not Don. It was Adonijah Judson. And it is now 1812, and he has gone back to college and seminary. And Adonijah Judson, he fell in love with a lady named Anne Heseltine. And they decided they would go and be missionaries. They were the first missionaries that ever America sent out to another country, and it was Burma. And it took them a year and a half on the voyage to arrive at Burma. During that time, his wife gave birth to a child, but on the voyage, after the child was only a few months old, it died. Arriving in 1813, exactly 2 decades after from when William Carey, the famous missionary from England, had arrived in India and began his modern missionary movement. It is said that when Mr. Judson asked Anne's father for her hand, that a neighbor said that Anne's father said that he would chain her daughter's hand to the bed rather than to let his daughter go across the seas to a foreign land with a missionary. But the father was a Christian, and God dealt with him, and he gave his blessings and let her go. Now, Adonijah Judson was a frail man. They said that he had a shock of chestnut hair with a great intellect, and his wife had beautiful black curly hair. And now he set out to conquer the pagan land of Burma. Now it is said that the Burmese people were fierce looking with high cheekbones. They were extremely unfriendly to strangers. And as it took a year and a half to make the voyage, as they marched down the plank to their new home, it is said that, it really wasn't new. It was a home on the outskirts of town, and he bought it for $300, and this home was next to the town's garbage dump. Now remember, this is a third world country over 100 years ago, and there were tigers that were roaming the streets, killing dogs, and known for children to be missing. And the stink from the garbage heap on the outskirts of town was quite horrible. And this is what he writes in his diary. I have no doubt that in all of God's earth there is no home so happy as ours, because it is filled with the love of Christ. He would start off his ministry by letting everyone know that you should meditate much on the love of Christ. It sustains me. And immediately, this missionary, he began learning the complex language of the Burmese people, and he prayed that God would give him the ability to learn the language, to be able to communicate. He was so gifted. Adonijah Judson translated the whole Bible into Burmese, and it's used to this day. He also printed and wrote their first dictionary that they used for 100 years. After 30 years, he returned to America for his first furlough, but he was unable to speak in English because he had so immersed himself into the language of the Burmese people, and having throat problems when he came back, he needed a translator to translate from Burmese into the English language. It was 6 years before he had his first convert. He was one of the jungle tribesmen, and he became quite an evangelist in his day, and there were hundreds and hundreds added because of this one. It was at this time, while he's there, that Britain, after trying to conquer America twice, and failing, Britain turned their attention eastward and went to Burma, and they tried to conquer the country of Burma. And the Burma police arrested Don Adonai, or shall I say Adonai Judson, because he was white, and they thought that he was a spy for Britain. He tried to convince them, "I am not a spy for Britain, I'm an American," but to no avail, and they put him in jail in the most deplorable prison. And they marched him across the entire land of Burma in shackles, and his feet blistered and bled across the desert. And for 2 years now, he was put in the most deplorable prison. He was hung upside down every night for 2 years with a bamboo pole horizontally, with his feet there tied to it, with his shoulders barely touching the ground, which each breath he would need to fight and struggle to lift himself off of the ground. They say the vermin and the mice and the rats, the things that were on the bottom, were deplorable, and he went through that for 2 years. Later, he wrote, it was the love of Christ that strengthened him. It was the love of Christ that he often meditated on that gave him strength to go on, and that no matter where he was, he says it gave him joy and strength as he often kept his eyes on the Lord and the great love of Christ. He says that when he arrived in his home, that in all of the earth there was not a happier home than his because of the love of Christ. And with such joy, no matter where he was, he knew that Christ was with him. At long length, he buried his wife and all the children that he had been given during those years. He had 7 children. All of them died before the age of 14. Weeping was something very familiar with him in his home, but he writes it was the love of Christ that compelled him to go on. And when he finally returned to America on furlough, and everywhere he went, he would preach 2 things. The first one was, pray for the small church in Burma. They are your brethren. Pray for them. And the second thing he would tell his audience, and they came by the thousands, was think much about the love of Christ, that it may motivate your life and compel you, that you may learn to know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which is uncomprehendable. Oh, the amazing love of Christ. It was from that many hymns were born. Such love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner such as I. Is that motive of the love of Christ, as we on Memorial Day look back to our first missionary, is that what compels you? I asked my wife, as I've been studying on this fellow now for quite some time, what did you do this week that was motivated by the compelling love of Christ? You know, there are many things that can motivate us. Motives tell everything. One can be motivated by personal advancement or fame or personal comfort, but what is it that motivates your life? There was a great theologian that gave the illustration. He said, I pray that you might have a magnificent sailing vessel with a well-carved hull, and a cargo may be one of precious stones. May you have everything in there, and yet the future of that vessel will be determined by an unseen eyes of men. What will determine that vessel is the rudder that is underneath that no one sees. found beneath the waves, and that will determine whether that ship comes safe to harbor or is smashed on the rocky coast. The rudder is our motive in life. What motivates you? It doesn't matter what we do. If we do things with the wrong motive, there is not much of a reward the scripture speaks of. Is what motivates your life the love of Christ? Man can be motivated by things that he says is his motive, but is really not. It was Judas that he said, trying to show a motive he didn't possess. This money should have been given to the poor. This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he held the bag. He had motives that perhaps were not pleasing to the Lord. And on this Memorial Day, let's remember the first missionary who said, "Think much on the love of Christ." He went for 6 years before he ever established his first church. It is said that he would sit on his porch, and as people went by, he would try to talk to them and share with them the love of Christ. One of the converts that I mentioned, you see, it was a crime to leave the religion of Buddha and turn to Christianity. You were sentenced to death if you did. You could not be baptized. He took a trip across the country, took him quite some time to arrive, and he spoke to the king and asked the king if that could be changed. But the king said no, he was not received. He often wondered whether, "God, have you really sent me here? I've seen such little results." One year, America sent an eye doctor to the country, and this eye doctor was able to help people with their cataracts, and this doctor had quite an impact upon the country, and the king heard of it and invited this doctor to come and to visit the king. And Adoniram Judson needed to go because he was the only translator. And upon going, this time the king received him and changed the law so that you could get converted and not have to lose your life and be baptized. And he often struggled. There were times when his wife would bring him, he says, if it had not been for his wife, as he was in this prison, she would sneak out at night and bring him meals, because they didn't feed him properly and all the other prisoners were dying. And she brought him a pillow, with inside of that pillow were the manuscripts that he had translated. And a guard saw the pillow and took it for himself. And Mr. Judson thought, "All of my labor now is gone." And it was the love of Christ that kept him going. But his wife, quite an smart lady, made a nicer pillow and brought it and gave it to him. And he said to the guard, "Would you like to have a nicer new pillow?" And the guard couldn't understand why he would want to have his old pillow in change of this newer, nicer pillow, not knowing the manuscripts were in it, and gave him back, and he counted as an answer to prayer. When you read of his life in the journals, there was a lion that was next to the prison. They were waiting and letting this lion go without food and causing his appetite to be quite ready to go, with the plans of turning the lion loose into the prison. But the lion died the day before this was to be executed. The wife went to the people in charge and pleaded that her husband might be able to stay in the lion's cage, and it was granted. He noticed, as his wife continually came to see him, that there was 3 weeks that she was not there, and he worried about her. And finally, when she did show up, she brought the new child that had been born that he was not aware that she had been carrying. It was a year later that the child died. heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak, but it was the love of Christ that constrained him. At length, he became so sick that he took a trip to Martinique, a climate that was supposed to help him recover from his illness, and he could return to Burma. But while on the ship, he grew weaker and weaker, and he was unable to get out of his bed. There were many of the Burmese village people who had been converted that were there to minister to him. And he writes and says that he opened his eyes as he was so sick and unable to even get up. He saw a number of the Burmese people around him rejoicing and praising the Lord. And there was a strangely unfamiliar figure he saw bending over him and wiping the tears from his eyes. And he noted that his hand was pierced. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that you so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love that you gave to us, the love that took you to the cross, the love that took the stripes, the love that said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The love that went to the dark tomb and rose again, and a love that will bring you back again. May we think much on the love of Christ as it constrained Paul, who also was aware of many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And may we on this Memorial Day, may we think much of the love of Christ. May we think like a missionary. There are so many, Lord, that do not know you. May love motivate us to share Christ with the lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. I would encourage you this week to think much on the love of Christ, to know his love. There are so many people that don't know his love. And may his love be shed abroad in your hearts. And soon he will wipe all of our tears away. Father, once again I come to you, and I pray the Holy Spirit would remind us of the first missionary that the world has ever seen was Jesus Christ. May you give each of us a missionary spirit. May each of us recognize we have the answer to eternal life. And may that love motivate us. Help us to search our hearts and see where motives have not been perhaps pleasing to you. And wash us with your blood and your love. In Christ's name we pray. I'm opening up the altars. Lay some soul upon your heart that God could cause you to go to and tell of his wondrous love. Would you come? In fact, I'd like all of you to come. And let's just stand. Next week is a missionary coming. We have our own missionary. But God give each of us a missionary spirit. I have read countless of these infidels that have promoted their atheism. And I would to God that on the preface of each book, it would tell how they died. Because I have read of over a dozen of their last moments with no hope. It is not a pretty picture. And if people knew that, their books would have no influence. Thomas Paine, when he died, he had such a horrible time. There was a woman that was taking care of him, and he was asking her to send one of the clergy to him. And there the clergy came, and Thomas Paine, she said, he often cries out at night, "Oh my God, what will I do? Why am I talking this way? There is no God. But if there is a God..." And then he would tell the lady that was in charge of the home, he would say, "Don't leave me. I don't want to be left alone." And she told him, "I can't be here around the clock." And he said, "Then bring a child." But the death of these infidels is so deplorable. And we have the words of eternal life. Someone shared with me, if you had the cure for AIDS, if some way you had the cure of AIDS, wouldn't you feel obligated to give it to those that are dying? And yet we have within us something far greater than the cure of AIDS for the lost. We have within us the hope of glory in us. We have Christ within us. And no wonder when Isaiah heard the Lord say, "Isaiah, who will I send and who will go?" Soul winning is something that everyone is called to. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And whether you be Adoniah Judson or whether you be someone that lives locally, we have an obligation to share the good news of Jesus Christ, for the fields are white unto harvest. If everyone would get a burden, and if everyone would just begin to let the thoughts that motivated Adoniah Judson motivate us, God wants everybody to be a soul winner. He wants everyone to share the good news. You have something more important than that. Oh, people, do you know the potential? If we would just take what we have, and with prayer and with, "Oh, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. I know some lost people." Anybody here know some lost people? May the love of Christ motivate us. Father, bless your people. Thank you that we have eternal life. Thank you that we have something, Lord, that is so real and rich. Oh, God forbid that we would keep it to ourselves like the four lepers. And why sit we here until we die? May we move ahead, and may the church rise up with the zeal of the Holy Ghost and with the love of Christ and move forward. Father, may we be obedient to the Great Commission. And on this Memorial Day, we remember those that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. We're not asked to die. We're only asked to share the good news. Help your people to do that. Surely, if Christ be in us, then that is His desire, and it will work its way out. Bless your people. We thank you. You've been saving our loved ones. But, oh God, there's more that need you. And we thank you, Lord. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Have a good holiday. Love your family.